Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bears. We'll go next to Chris Emma from 670 The Score. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris Emma.
I will fight Chris Emma. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Covering the Bears quite a bit, as he always does, and we're always happy to have him aboard. Chris Emma.
Yeah, we got you, Chris. Chris, you look like you're working that technology about like I did.
Lead Bears writer for 670thescore.com.
At the same point in time, they've got major depth concerns, so, I mean, I feel like I got the crowd noise here with these cicadas going. Getting tuned out here outside of Hallis Hall.
Chris Emma with Spiegel and Holmes.
I like it.
On 670 The Score.
Let's do this. Our guy Chris Emma has all the news from Hallis Hall. He joins us now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Emma, thanks for joining us. Big Aunt Heron is here for Spiegs. What do we need to know from Hallis Hall?
Boys, good to be with you. Let's catch up because today is a Wednesday for the Bears on a Tuesday. They flipped this week given the structure from the past week. So they were out of the practice field today. There was no injury report. That'll come out tomorrow, even though tomorrow is an off day. But I can report that TJ Edwards was back out there, and that is a very good sign for a defense that's been quite shorthanded at linebacker. I noticed a club on his right hand, which he had surgically repaired a month ago after suffering that fracture. I think it was more about the hamstring because they could have put that hand in a club. So he's ready to go. We don't know if he is full or limited. We will find out tomorrow, but certainly ramping up towards potentially returning for Sunday.
That is definitely exciting news. And one of the Bears' defensive starters that was hopeful to return finally got back out on the field last Friday. What was the latest you got to hear from and about Jalen Johnson?
Well, yeah, he was not able to speak with reporters during his work before getting activated. So this was the first we here locally were able to hear from him. And you really got a sense of the guy that we've heard so many times before, who's really deep in his thought, deep in his mind, and deep in his spirit. And this was a really tough ordeal for him, but he found inner peace through his time away. And he stepped away from the team to return home while doing his rehab there, returned in recent weeks, was back in the locker room, back with these guys and joining a team that's been stacking victories. But let's get right to it. Here's Jalen Johnson on his road back.
Yeah, I mean, I was at home, so it was better for me that way. I would say to just be away from the game in that way. I think it kind of can mess you a little bit when you are in it, but you're not in it. And especially for me, I mean, I've been playing this game since I've been 7 years old. So I think for me to have the game taken from me through injury was something I wanted to kind of protect myself in mentally. So it was better for me, I would say, to be home. But it was definitely good to see the guys succeeding on the screen.
It seemed like a serious enough injury that it could have cost you the rest of your season if it's possible. How do you feel about being able to be back with so much time left?
I feel blessed, I would say. I mean, at the end of the day, I would say wrote myself off as well coming back this season. But, I mean, God had different plans, and God can push me and told me that I'm on his time and not what anybody else says. So, for me, just really buying into that and then doing what I need to do, getting extra work, pushing myself to get back a lot sooner, to get stronger a lot faster. So, I mean, for me, I'm just continuing to do that and hopefully to get to 100% as quick as possible.
You have this rivalry a lot, Jalen. You play the Packers a lot.
Yeah.
Is it a different feeling going in first place, being on top, the confidence level in this locker room, is it different?
Yes. I would say the confidence is a lot higher in the locker room, in the building, and just what we can do. When you put it on tape, it gives you more confidence. So I think for us going to this game, we have more belief than I would say what we've had previously before, because we've put in the work and we've seen the results come from it, and naturally you gain confidence from that. So I would say we definitely feel a lot better, but again, this is a different team, a different season, and we're going into it, I would say, all guns blazing, ready and prepared.
Sometimes when guys are recovering from an injury, there's like physical and mental challenges.
Yeah, for sure.
What was that experience like with you with trying to recover from such a major injury?
What was it like? I think for me, honestly, it was more so spiritually. I went on a 10-day fruit and water fast, lost like 15, 20 pounds, and really just kind of stripped myself in that moment. I was already vulnerable physically, but I would say just also stripping myself spiritually and mentally, and pushing myself to get closer to God and to be uncomfortable, because throughout this whole process, that's what I've been. And I think for me, that gave me a lot more strength. That gave me a lot more peace with where I'm at in life. And really just continue to lean on God. I've gotten a lot of clarity from him throughout that process. So for me, it was really just growing as a man, as I've always been trying to do, grow mentally, spiritually, to help me with the physical part of it. Because realistically, this surgery is nothing. I think just keeping my mind in the right spot, keeping my spirit, man, in the right position and trending towards God is the biggest thing for me.
Jalen, there have been off seasons in the past where we've asked you about the feelings going on. You said, I want to see the results, to have the results on the side. How would you describe kind of what you guys are going through as a team and the culture that's in place right now?
How do I describe it? I mean, I feel like it's kind of hard to describe. I think for us, we're all going through it together, and we're all trying to be on the same page and mature through this together. I feel like this group has never been together, but some guys have won, some guys haven't won. So it's kind of just finding the right temperature in our locker room, figuring out what works well for us as a group, buying into what the coaches are saying, committing and recommitting each and every week. So I think for me, for us, it's something that really can't be described right now, but we're just really going through it, and that's why we don't really take too much of what everybody's saying on the outside and just trying to remain tunnel vision until we get to the end.
This is a great follow-up by you, Emma, about some of the things that Jalen's talking about, and he's clearly on a journey. Like, what did you take away from that conversation that you guys had with him?
I think he's just in a really good place, and I was able to kind of visit with him a couple weeks ago as he walked through the locker room, just saying hi, how you doing, and like he just had a big smile on his face. He seems genuinely excited to be back with his team. This guy has been through it during his time with the Bears, really tough seasons. Gosh, I mean, last year we know what his role was as part of a team that unraveled around Matt Eberflus, and he's been the guy over the years when there's been renewed hope in the offseason that says, let's see it. Let's see how this all plays out. And there's a genuine curiosity to Jalen Johnson that I think he feels is being rewarded right now. And it's been bittersweet for him because he's not been around this team. He's not been playing. He's not been even at Hallis Hall for a lot of this season. I think he is overjoyed to be in this really good place mentally and emotionally and to be back with his team sitting at 9-3 heading to Lambeau Field in first place and as the number one seed. So he's certainly thrilled to contribute. I think he also got a good mental, spiritual reset when he was back home with his family and enjoying some time away from football, but he's certainly thrilled to be back now.
Well, Emma, of course, the Bears passing game was a part of the topics that have continued to be talked about, and Ben Johnson himself has had a lot to say about the Bears passing game between post game and then the follow-up the day after, and now you get back-to-back Ben, really three consecutive days in some ways of Ben Johnson just talking about everything that was positive about the Bears, but the passing attack itself has been topical because the coach himself is talking about the room for improvement there. What were you able to hear from Johnson and Caleb himself?
I thought it was interesting the way that he took a question and brought himself back to his media availability yesterday, talking about his comments of this passing game has to improve and it takes everybody. And he specified, you know, it's not just Caleb. It's route depth. It's running with the right technique and mastering every detail of your route. And he was asked about the passing game today and circled right back on it. So here's Ben Johnson.
Yeah, I think when I made that comment yesterday, it's easily to the construed as I'm not happy with the quarterback. That's not the case whatsoever. He continues to get better each and every week. And I couldn't be more pleased with how he played last week. And I know what the stats say, throw those out the window. He's doing a really good job managing the ball game. And that's step number one for the quarterback. And so he's going to continue to get better. He's doing the process is really good right now with how he approaches the week. The way he's taken the coaching, the way he's applying the coaching, I'm very pleased with that. And I think we're going to continue to see him ascend, whether the stats tell the story or not.
Yeah, it's so close. I mean, like, if you look at last game, there was obviously I had the two that, you know, were that I should have, you know, hit, you know, thrown to the right side, Rome and DJ, and then right time and right everything miss. And then, you know, we have the the other couple players where the guy slip, but it's right time and right spot. It's just the guy slip. And then, you know, then we had a couple where it was just, you know, miscommunication on, you know, him breaking in or out and things like that. So we were in the right spot, right time. And it's just, you know, just not on the same page. So that's really what it's come down to. And so us going back and watching film and looking at it and all of that, you know, we're so close and we'll be hitting here soon.
What do you hear in terms of your 111 this week of trying to get that echo?
Yeah, details. And you know, when the time comes, give the guys a runner's ball. And then from there, you know, let them go be special. But, you know, my part of it is details, is footwork, being clean, you know, moving throughout the concepts, you know, getting reps and visualizing all the different reps and concepts that we have throughout the weeks and, you know, visualize completing each pass and, you know, the coverage or, you know, how I may be, you know, in my drop or, you know, pressure or anything like that. And, you know, just feeling confident in that and then delivering a good runner's ball for those guys so they can go make special plays for us.
Emma, how would you assess how the Bears' ability to run the ball has impacted their pass game?
I think it is made up for a lot of things they're still working on in that regard. They're able to play with physicality up front, and you saw that on Friday. They took it to the defending champions, and that was such an impressive performance. But Ben Johnson knows this thing has to get better. He knows the passing game has to improve. They're sitting there right now, second in running game and 16th in passing. And the bread and butter is going to be running the darn ball, and you've seen them do that with a lot of success. But the play-action shot to Cole Kmet for that touchdown was an example of how they want to marry the run game and the pass game in an ideal world. But you like to strike that balance, and there's going to be games where you got to throw the ball more. Maybe you're playing from behind. You got to strike that comeback, and you can't just count on the running game. And I think you're seeing the elements of what this offense can look like in a perfect world, but it's about the execution factor now. They're not far, and I say that because I believe that the greatest hiccup for this right now is just time on task and mastering for Caleb, your footwork, going through your progressions. I mean, we're sitting here in early December right now. We're only a few months off, 4 months off from when this offense was such a work in progress, and they're really struggling with the finer points. And they're sitting here right now with a top 10 offense that's inspired some confidence and a team sitting at 9-3. But keep in mind, they're not that far off from this offense just being installed and working through the basics of it. I think it's going to get there. And it's everybody, as Ben Johnson said. It's not just Caleb. It's the receivers running their routes properly, getting to the right spots. They're not running the wrong route. They got to be in the right spots in terms of route depth. There's a big difference in Ben Johnson's mind between running 10 yards deep and 11 yards deep. And it's all about those finer details and Caleb putting it all together. So I think they're close. I think they're going to only improve that, albeit against some tougher challenges ahead and some daunting December weather to come.
So let's talk about one of those challenges. This defense that they're going up against this week, pretty tough. And they've been okay with having to shuffle the left tackle position between three different players, which is wild. How are they making it work?
Well, I'll take that back, too, and you're going to hear from Ben Johnson at the end about Ozzie Trapillo in that tackle spot, but I think it's really notable the way that you've had three different guys step in at left tackle and play pretty well, and Ozzie Trapillo obviously being the most recent one. Back in August, he bowed out of that competition. He was just a non-factor. They didn't want to even see him compete, let alone step in as a starter, and now he is that guy. He is your starter at left tackle, and this offensive line is playing at such a high level. It's different now. You're facing some big-time challenges here. You just saw one against the Philadelphia Eagles. Now you got one in Green Bay with this Packers defense that is loaded with talent and with a defensive coordinator, Jeff Halfley, who knows what to do with these guys. You're going to hear some big-time respect from Ben Johnson. He said this is probably the best defense that they've faced so far. Here's Ben Johnson on that and more.
Well, hey, personnel-wise, they're pretty loaded across the board. You know, you got multiple guys up front that you got to be aware of. Starting with Micah, do a great job moving around, so it's hard to get a beat for where he's going to be. Rashawn Gary still playing at a high level. And then they've got a lot of depth up there, too. But you can tell they're really well coached. They do a great job shedding blocks on their front line. With the linebackers, a lot of respect for Quay Walker. He's been doing it at a high level now for a number of years. And Cooper, I don't think that he was healthy when I was calling games last year against them, but he shows up all over the tape. He's flying around. They're matchup issues for your backs and pass pro. You can tell they bring it. Fast players, sideline to sideline. And then I think these safeties is probably the two best safeties that we've seen all year long. They're extremely active in the run game. They're all over the field. And so we've got a tall task here at hand. And then when you combine it with the scheme, I think Halfley does a great job of making it simple for them, and yet to the offense it can seem fairly complex, and those guys just go out and they play really, really fast, and that's what shows up all over the tape.
We've seen some really good pass rushers all season, elite pass rushers all season. How have you seen the confidence grow in that unit going up against those tough defensive lines of pass rushers?
Yeah, no, we've faced a number of good ones. You know, I think the last one that you really earmarked to a degree was Max Crosby, you know, and he still was able to affect the game quite a bit there when we played Vegas early in the season. Hutch was another one just like that up in Detroit. And so we faced a number of them. We got obviously both Micah and Rashawn Gary here this week. And, you know, going forward, it seems like we're going to have somebody every week. So, I think our guys do have some confidence. I do think they're playing well up front in both the run game and the pass game. I'm talking about our offensive line. They're doing a really nice job right now. But like I said, each week's its own story, and we got to go out there and create our own narrative here this week.
When you're deciding who's playing left tackle for you week to week or even down the stretch of the season, how much do you factor in the hope of what Ozzie Trapillo's ultimate trajectory is as a long-term solution at tackle for you, him being a second-round pick and all?
Yeah, I mean, the draft status is out of the window once they enter the building, so that doesn't play a factor whatsoever. We're always going to play the guy that gives us the best chance to win the ball game, and so that's where it starts. I think he's an ascending player, just like you alluded to. He's still developing, and he's going to continue to get better the more reps he has. I feel the same way about Theo, too. He's a young player that the more time on task he gets, the better he's going to get as well. So I think that's a good problem to have, is to have a number of young options at tackle that are only going to continue to get better.
Big Ant, when you look at the matchup between the Bears offense, the way that they've played the last couple weeks, and Green Bay's defense, what do you see?
I love the question there from Herb about offensive tackle, because it impacts this season, but potentially the years to come. And the hope was that Ozzie Trapillo could be that answer at tackle, and he'll have a chance to continue to stack performances. They're going to have a similar plan against Green Bay, just like they had against Pittsburgh, where between alignment and true help in chipping the defensive ends for Green Bay, because it's not only about Micah Parsons, as much as they move him around, Rashawn Gary can rush the edge at a really high level also, and stylistically they're different guys. But they've got to have a plan for each of them, but the way they move Parsons around is certainly going to be something the Bears are going to have to account for, and this will be a different challenge than the one Trapillo has faced in either of his first couple of starts.
Emma, these are incredible times that we are in with the Bears. Do the Bears have a sense of that too?
I think there's an appreciation for what they're doing, and they are very process-driven. They follow the lead of Ben Johnson, who's saying, don't look back. We're looking forward. And but they're 9-3, and they went through it. Caleb Williams reflected back on going to Green Bay last year, kind of chuckled like, man, that was a totally different time. And they're relishing this. You saw that in the locker room Friday, as you have many times before, now 9 times this season, celebrating those wins. And there's an appreciation. Here's Caleb Williams on whether he thought this would be a special season.
Yeah, I've felt that as soon as we started getting the guys in the building, as soon as it's funny, you know, we like Ben and I, we'd be up in the office and like we got a special group here because we got so many guys that care. I've said that on multitude of times, and so being able to feel that energy, being able to know the guys and the type of guys we have in the building, just trying to be able to work on all the details, get everything right in my wheelhouse, and then obviously try and help the guys and push the guys and try and make sure they're in the right spot. But early on, I felt that we had a real shot and just got to keep working towards it.
Nuggets and tidbits.
Yes, this is the 211th all-time meeting between the Bears and the Packers. The last time the Bears won consecutive games in this series, got to go back to 2007 for that. The Bears have had just one winning season since Lovie Smith was fired in 2012. Ben Johnson accomplished that in his first dozen games on the job. He would become just the second head coach in franchise history to win 10 of his 13 games. The other was George Stanley Halas. And in honor of Les Grobstein, his favorite game in this Bears-Packers series, 1980, a 61-7 win over the Packers, for which Les said, quote, KMA, I wish they would have run it up more on them.
Emma, just an incredible Bears hit with the cherry on top of a Les Grobstein nugget. Outstanding work,
you know,
sir.
What? KMA.
You're damn right. KMA. Thanks, Emma. We appreciate it.
Take care.
That's Chris Emma. He covers the Bears for us here at The Score. When we come back, I've been dying to have this conversation with this man. Let's talk about the Bears' run game and why it's being successful. Big Ant's going to break it all down for us next here on The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's great. I mean, it's predicated on physicality and finish. And obviously, you get a healthy dose of our wide zone stuff and gap scheme stuff and just how bought in everyone is to it. And mainly, really, like when you see Ben, who really does the run installs for us, and how fired up he gets as the play caller about the run schemes that he's presenting for the week. I think that trickles to everybody in the room, you know, not only the offensive line and backs, but tight ends, receivers, and it really makes everyone want to be involved in it and really be on the details about it. So it's a creative, fun run scheme to be part of, but at the end of the day, it is predicated off of physicality and finish, and you know, at the core, that's what football is.
Cole Kmet talking about the Bears run game. We're going to have an in-depth conversation about it in just a second. It's Blackhawks and Bulls season on Chicago Sports Network. Visit subscribe.chsn.com to sign up for your 7-day free trial of their all-access plan. Over 300 live games per year. Chicago Sports Network, your home stream advantage. All right, Big Ant. What are the Bears doing well in their run game?
So I was wondering, like going back to the offseason, really, I was trying to think, like, how much faith should they have in DeAndre Swift? How much faith is it reasonable for them to have? Because it seems like they're centering the hopes for the running back position around DeAndre Swift because he's the only proven commodity they have. Now, they drafted Kyle Manungai for a reason, but it's still a bit of guesswork. How much are you confident you can count on a 7th-round pick to step in and truly be productive for you? So amongst the many positions that we discussed in the offseason, leading into the draft, coming out of the draft, more than left tackle, running back I did have some curiosity about because I'm just thinking they're going to need to run the rock. Ben Johnson obviously values running the football, and DeAndre Swift is talented, but he's never carried a run game. And what I began to realize going through training camp and the preseason games and even those early games when there wasn't that much production on the ground, Ben Johnson's just confident he's going to be able to scheme up the run. And as much conversation as was being had early in the year about Caleb and what he was learning and kind of his learning curve in Ben Johnson's system, to me, it showed up all across the board on the Bears offense. And even the discussion you and I were having earlier in the show about the volume that they were throwing at this young quarterback for a lot of the Bears offense with the youth that they have at receiver and at left tackle and the inexperience in this system at running back and other spots. A lot was being thrown at everyone, the entire offensive line, getting accustomed to Ben Johnson, aside from Jonah Jackson, who'd actually played in his system before. And so he seemed to take the approach that he basically told everyone, you got to get this down. And there's going to be a trial by fire where we all figure this out together. And the run game is chief amongst that. It's one thing to tell the quarterback, when you're in the pocket, you got to be able to read the field, see your keys, and have the footwork and the timing down to be able to deliver the football. But the run game has so many mechanics to it as well. And there's been so much growth that's shown up there. When they break the huddle and get to the line of scrimmage, there's more pace to the way that they operate and all the motions and the eye candy that they throw at the defense and everything that happens pre-snap to sort of destabilize how the defense wants to operate. Ben Johnson just took the Yoda approach. He said, do or do not. There is no try. We're just going to continue to try and overwhelm folks with the visual. And then when we really want to come at them, they're going to be back on their heels because we're testing them mentally and physically. And there's a few run games in football that really do that stress you in both ways, and the Bears do both at a really high level.
When it comes to Ben Johnson coming in, I looked at Detroit's offense, and I'm like, man, there's some cool stuff here. I hope that the Bears are going to be able to pull it off. From your point of view, what about this collection of offensive linemen has allowed for them to become this type of team?
Like, not to disparage the past, but a guy like Nate Davis. Nate Davis was physically capable, but there's a degree of mental stamina that's necessary to grow within this ground attack because you have to consume volume of the playbook. And for the O-line, there's only so many things they're being tasked with, but to be able to stay in your stance, sit back on your haunches, and whether you're going zone scheme or gap scheme, to be able to have both aspects of that down because some units are more built for either, but the Bears have elements of both within this run game. And so the physicality that's necessary and the athleticism you have to do certain things, like when they're fold blocking, where you'll see the guard wrapping around either to the opposite side of the formation past the center or operating out into the open field, tasking the offensive tackles with the same thing, where sometimes you'll see a tackle and a tight end pulling in the same direction, going past the ball, or the tackle looping around with a crack toss or some sort of a fold block or a log block operating out into the open field. There is a lot that the O-line is tasked with understanding, and the timing, the spacing of it, like we were talking to Big Cat about a bit earlier, just to have the footwork in unison with the guys that you're operating next to. And the Bears doing those things at a high level is enhanced because you have the second and third level of the defense who aren't certain who's legitimately going to get the football. So that hesitation that's there allows the defense just an extra millimoment to be able to overtake the guy who they're going to try to reach right there on the defensive line. Or if the D-line is thinking, okay, they're going to run laterally, so I'm not going to have my force moving vertically as fast. So now if you're not coming out of your stance with the same type of aggression, now you get blown off the ball because you get some kind of a duo scheme that's coming at you. So it's the fact that the Bears have talented guys up front, but a scheme where the defense truly never feels like they really have a bead on where the ball's going or where the play is designed to end up.
Let's go back to DeAndre Swift for a second. When I looked at the Detroit tape, I'm like, you know what? Swift can do a lot with the zone running scheme.
Yeah.
I feel like he's kind of built for it, honestly. Like, he's got good vision. He has pretty good instincts. And him being able to find a cutback lane is one of the things that bothered Bears fans last year. Like, man, just sometimes you just got to run it in there. I watch him in the zone scheme that the Bears are running, and I'm like, man, this is really working. So you gave us a little bit of a snapshot of what it's like for defenders when they're facing a zone run scheme. Why has Swift been successful in finding those cutback lanes and getting to them quickly?
There's so much more detail now in the way that DeAndre Swift is running the ball. And I love and respect the growth that he's showing, because he'd gotten to a certain point in his career where he'd already become a successful and productive running back. He's a really talented guy. And frankly, a lot of guys, they get to a certain point in their career, like, all right, I've been at this for a handful of years. I've made money. I've kind of proven that I can be productive here. I don't need to keep learning. I don't need to keep growing. I can just kind of be the guy that I've been. And honestly, I kind of thought maybe that was where DeAndre Swift fit into that. And I would have been cool with that, because I felt like we knew, or at least we should know, what DeAndre Swift was capable of at this level. But he's gone beyond my expectations, and not just the finesse aspect of his game that he's always been really good at, whether it was high school, or he played in the All-American Bowl, been calling that game for years for NBC. He was a big-time recruit, played in that game, and he went to Georgia, and now he's been in the league. He's always been a guy who's been special in space. But he's always also struck me in a similar fashion to Saquon Barkley as a guy that's capable of running with more force, but doesn't always access it. And we're seeing a version now of DeAndre Swift, even different than the Swift we saw earlier in the season, that's running with more force, with more urgency, and more detail. Because like that touchdown run he had the other day on the goal line, where everything starts laterally and he's got his foot working sort of a crossover step sort of way as he's receiving the football. And then once it's time to get vertical, that's frequently where DeAndre Swift has been hesitant in the past, like really looking for space. But we saw him on that touchdown run, that there was a burst as he sort of gradually received the football and worked sideways a little bit with the O-line. And as the hole was declaring, you could see that he could feel it coming and was willing to run through the smoke. That's the thing we didn't see DeAndre Swift doing a lot of early in his career, where if the hole wasn't just gaping to get north and south, then he was hesitant to really trust it and try to go there. And he made a beeline for the end zone. And it was just a beautiful thing. The design of the play, the timing, the spacing, and the detail he ran it with really generated that touchdown run. And I just think it's the type of play he might have bounced early in his career, the older version, the past version of DeAndre Swift, trying to go sideways. And he's turned into a guy willing to have a little bit more beast mode in his style.
Tanny, can you load up that Cole Kmet soundbite that we came in with again? There's something I want to ask Big Ant about it, because I love hearing this part of it, and it plays into what the coach is all about.
It's great. I mean, it's predicated on physicality and finish, and obviously you get a healthy dose of our wide zone stuff and gap scheme stuff, and just how bought in everyone is to it. And mainly, really, like when you see Ben, who really does the run installs for us, and how fired up he gets as the play caller about the run schemes that he's presenting for the week. I think that trickles to everybody in the room. You know?
Here's my thing. So many coaches on either side of the ball, they talk about we're this, like this is what our identity is, and this is who we're going to be. I'm not saying that other coaches haven't lived it, but it feels like to me, Ben Johnson lives this thing that he's talking about. And there is something to the idea of the enthusiasm from the instructor on this to make you feel like, hey, we've got this thing. If you got trust me on this, we're gonna move these guys off the line of scrimmage and we are gonna do some stuff to them. And then when the players see the proof of concept, and they go, oh, our pin and pull game that we use with the wide receivers blocking. And it's like, oh, that does pop big runs. So what's it like when a coach is both enthusiastic and clearly understands what it is that he's asking you to do versus it being kind of lip service?
It feels like, and I try to hesitate to go overboard with compliments in general and to try not to be too over the top with things while we're still seeing the early stages of it. But so far, Ben Johnson seems to be a really unique example of a guy who, as like, the folks I talked to who were in Detroit and around him, and I was wondering, is he going to be kind of the bookish little, you know, football savant, or does he have like main character energy? Is he able to bring that at the front of the room? Because we know Antoine Randall has had that as a great player and a quarterback and a big personality. And Randall was able to bring that in Detroit, and Dan Campbell was that and exuded that at all times in Detroit. That wasn't Ben Johnson's role. And so the human part of it, the interpersonal part of it, the chemistry that's built in this locker room between a guy who can give you this sort of dual schematic phenomenology where he can out-scheme the opponent on a really regular basis, but also can exude that belief from himself and the enthusiasm about it that the players feel. I think back to earlier in the season when Caleb was talking about Ben in his headset and certain plays that Ben Johnson would call.
Hyped.
Yeah, and he's like, man, this is a good one. And Caleb hearing that in his ear, in his headset, as Ben Johnson is calling a play, infusing a little bit of that extra confidence and comfort and desire to go out and execute this play because his head coach really feels good about it. So when you're game planning during the week and as a player, you got that dude who, especially at this point where you know he's likely to outsmart the opponent, that's just the belief that's been instilled now, but then also for Ben Johnson himself to communicate it in a way where he's instilling belief into the guys as they're scheming it, as they're practicing it. It's everyone isn't like that. And I hope Ben Johnson continues to be like that. And like year one was fun with Matt Nagy. It didn't feel like this.
It
wasn't this. It is a different thing. And you're like year one with Matt Nagy, about halfway through the season, I started sending some alarm bells back then.
It was week 12. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was week 12 and you and I were talking and you were like, hey, something's not right here. And I haven't quite put my finger on it yet. But something's not right. And I was like, oh, no. So then I started looking. And I was like, he's right. And then I started bouncing it off of other people. And it was like, no, something's wrong here. And then, of course, we saw some of the things that went wrong.
This
continued to go wrong.
But this feels very different. And it's exciting up to this point how different it feels. And it is still his first season as a head coach. but he's been a play caller for a few years. But that's the aspect of Ben Johnson that impresses me far beyond anything he's doing schematically. What he's doing as a leader for this football team, the way he communicates and the faith that he's instilled in this team, in themselves, in all phases, and the coaches as well. It feels unique. It feels rare. And I hope the results continue to show that.
When we come back, a Chicago football legend gets some honors. Let's explore that next here on The Score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Four.
Spiegel and Holmes Show Flashback.
The 1994 Illinois football team boasted what many would call the greatest linebacking core ever assembled on the field at one time. John Holasek, Simeon Rice, Kevin Hardy, and Dana Howard. Simeon Rice was a quarterback's nightmare, racking up a school record 16 sacks. He remains the Big Ten's best sack man with 44.5 in his career. The four linebackers totaled 44 tackles for loss, pushing opponents back 208 yards and continuing to stake a claim for Linebacker U.
Simeon Rice, one of the greatest players to come out of this area. He not only was a legend in Illinois, he also now is in the Tampa Bay Bucks Ring of Honor.
He used to rack him up for the Bucks, man. They'd get after the quarterback, and he was untouchable. Like I was mentioning, Montez Sweat needing to be like water more often. That was Simeon Rice. You couldn't touch him.
Simeon Rice, 122 sacks in his career, 37 forced fumbles, all pro, three-time Pro Bowler, won a Super Bowl, and now in the Ring of Honor for Tampa Bay. Here's what he had to say about it.
During my time and my 10-year plan, I was the best of the best, and I know it. You know, I'm unapologetically saying it. And to be honored like this, you know, for in the Rice's name, in my father's name, Henry Rice, and my Uncle Clee, who's my last uncle that's left, and that lineage of family and the Rice family, to honor them, is this is what it's all about. And the fact that my son James and my son Jordan, they get to see this moment, and my niece and my nephews, it's amazing. And I just feel like I'm a vessel, and I carry the torch and the spirit of all those that I have played with, that have supported me, We all go up together. It's just the name of Simeon Rice, but it's Mount Carmel, it's Roseland, Chicago, University of Illinois. Even that drastic class that drafted me with the Arizona Cardinals the first year, no disrespect, I love them too. You know, this is amazing. You know, I got my high school state championship team here, those guys, and they met every white man's hero, Mike Alstott. It feels pretty good. You know, it feels amazing.
You talk about a legendary team, that 91 Mount Carmel team. My goodness, just monsters everywhere. 92 team, monsters everywhere for Mount Carmel. Congratulations to Simeon Rice. He's right. Everyone thought that you'd have Mike Alstott reincarnated, too.
Every white man's hero, Mike Alstott.
And then Cam Scatterboo got hurt for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
You're going to keep getting hurt, too.
He had a little time for the WWE scene, though. We'll see.
He did.
Yeah.
He really did have some time for that. And people were like, what is going on here? But congratulations to Simeon Rice. Like, that's a big
deal.
Well
deserved, man. Well deserved.
Talk about Big Ten legend. That dude. Huh. That was back in the time when, because I'm a little older than Ant, but that was back in the time where we would joke that you go to Mount Carmel, you go over to 63rd and Dante, and you look in the parking lot, and you see license plates from other states. You're like, oh.
Bringing them in.
Huh? Yeah, Tennessee, huh? It's a hell of a drive to go to high school every day.
Commute.
Get Indiana plates for sure.
Not part of the bus route.
Yeah.
Just make our way up here.
Occasionally the Michigan plate, but then every now and then you're like, Missouri? Huh. You fly in every day? What are you, the fly jock like Tom Joyner? Fly in every day to go to school in Mount Carmel and beat people up?
Oh, man.
Outstanding stuff right there. And this was
grand. Like to have it in cash. And just toss in one of those gym bags you got.
I mean, that's exactly how people felt about Mount Carmel in the early 90s. Just saying. By the way, today is Giving Tuesday. So join us in supporting the Greater Chicago Food Depository, Together We Rise. It's Chicago Against Hunger. Donate now to the Greater Chicago Food Depository at chicagosfoodbank.org or text GIVE to 91471. That's 91471. And it's a great day for all of the different places that are accepting money as we get towards the end of the year. I am a fan of Paw Chicago and Famous Fido Dog Rescue. Those are great places, and so is the Greater Chicago Food Depository.
Yes.
Give what you can if you can, and if not, that's okay too. Even if you're retweeting something or sharing it on some of your favorite places, that is just as valuable as giving the dollars, because we know that everyone doesn't necessarily have discretionary income to give away, but whatever you can do is appreciated. For Alex, for Tanny, for this man right here, Big Ant Heron did a great job on the show today.
Let's celebrate good times. Bears are 9-3.
Yeah, that's right. I'm Lawrence Holmes saying thank you so much for the love and support you show this show every single day. We will do our best to repay the favor tomorrow. Spiegs will be back. We will have ourselves a time. Enjoy the rest of your night. See you tomorrow on Spiegel and Holmes at 2 o'clock here on The Score.
Whatever. It's always, how can I put it? Always annoying to hear from you guys. But, you know, if this makes your day a little bit better, then, you know, I guess that's good for you. I don't know who else it's good for. I doubt it. I know it's not good for me. I doubt it's good for anybody listening. But it's good for you guys. So, great. I guess you'll just keep doing it whenever you feel like.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. the scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.